welcome, everybody. It's time for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Well, welcome to today's episode of The Coaching Perspective. Our topic for today is career strategies, and joining us will be the founder of Advanced Career Strategies, John Hall. But before I introduce John, let me get some of the mechanics of the show out of the way. First, if you're listening to our podcast, then shame on you. Where were you when we were broadcasting live? Actually, thanks for listening to the podcast. Thanks for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. And hey, while you're there, be sure to check out the archives for some other shows with some great guests. Speaking of guests, if you'd like to be on the show, we're always looking for coaches, CEOs, and HR professionals to interview. Just send me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com. And if you've missed any of the previous shows, go to either dgefeller, that's D-G-F-E-L-L-E-R, .podbeam.com, or our webpage on thecoachingperspective.com. So much for that. Well, we're off to a great show today. Here we are, mid-May. You know, as we said at the start of the show, our topic for today is career strategies with John Hall. Well, John's passion is coaching managers and professionals who are, as he puts it, plateaued, bored, or in transition. Boy, that's calling a spade a spade. John has coached hundreds of executives and management employees through career transition. At Chapman University, he developed and taught the only graduate outplacement course in the nation. He also taught advanced job search strategies in the Graduate Career Counseling Program at the University of California, San Diego. His articles have been published in the Wall Street Journal, the alumni newspaper for the Wharton Business School, and the Orange County Register. And coincidentally, for 2.5 years, he hosted his own talk show, Career Strategies, on talk2k.com. Don't turn there now. Just stay right here on octalkradio.net. John served 3 years on the National Board of the Professional Coaches and Mentors Association, PCMA, for those of you who've been around a long time. He's a past president of their Orange County chapter. And in October, John was awarded, in 2010, the Waves of Service Award from Pepperdine University's Orange County Alumni Association. The award honored his programs helping alumni in job transition. He's also, and boy, this list goes on, but we're almost to the end, so hang on. He's also a past division governor in Toastmasters International, past president of the Los Angeles Area National Speakers Association, where he won their Golden Microphone Award. And his presentation training and experiences helped him develop an enthusiastic, highly interactive teaching style. Whoa, I'm impressed. John, welcome.
Well, thank you for the invitation. Sure, appreciate it.
Well, and I forgot to say, probably the most important credential you have is John's a longtime friend of mine. I've been active with John in the coaching communities for 15, 20 years, and I have seen him reach out and offer a helping hand to people time and time again. So, John, we're glad to have you here with us.
If I remember correctly, you and I were both president of the LA or the local chapter of PCMA and on its board.
Yeah, I think I was on the board. I don't think I was ever president. You know, nobody likes to give me too much power. Well, look, let me ask you a couple of our standard questions before we get into what we really want to dig into today. Share with the audience your path to your current business model. You've got a number of years of experience, but what did you do? Give us a thumbnail of the kinds of things you've done and what sort of led you to this.
It's interesting. I'd start out with, I went to Ohio State University, and there, like most kids, I didn't know what I was doing and took a time to get through the university. And one day I was walking across campus, and a friend of mine said, you're a microbiology major. The American Cancer Society is looking for people to start in this new field. And I didn't know a thing about it, but I fortunately passed all the tests and got into it completely by accident. So that first career started completely by accident. So ended up doing cancer research, which I did enjoy, and then I moved out here in the West, and I ran a laboratory for a number of years. And one day I was walking across the street, heading home, and I thought, if I have to spend one more hour looking over a microscope, I'll blow my brains out. There must be a better way of making a living. So I went out and got career counseling myself, and that was very helpful. And I, based on that, I decided to go back to school, and I looked into getting an MBA or a psych degree. And I chose a psych degree because I've been running a business for a long time. So I got a master's degree in psychology and counseling, and then followed that up with another master's in career counseling. And just love the whole idea of being able to help people that way, because I'd experienced, how should I say, enough career angst on myself to understand how other people felt. And then from there, I had a private practice for a number of years, and then have taught executives and management level men and women in transition through universities and my private practice. And I just have a passion, if you will, for helping people, you know, find themselves, if you will. Because one of my strong beliefs, based on my own experience, is that probably somewhere around 80% of all careers are just accidents. People drift into them the same way I did, or they take pot luck when they're out job searching. Well, it isn't really what I want, but it'll do for the time being. And the time being turns out to be 2 or 3 years, and then they're, you know. I could go on and on about that, Doug, so I hope that gives you a good overview.
Well, you know, and I'm glad you shared that, because all of us have a similar story, but we all think it's unique, and we're the only ones that don't have a clear picture. You know, time and time again, I've heard business executives go, "Guy, I so envy those guys that right out of school, they knew they wanted to be a doctor or a lawyer, and they've never deviated from it." Mm-hmm. And the rest of us have moved from career to career to career. And
it's interesting you say that, because I've had a number of attorneys in my private practice who were just burned out on it. And I've actually worked with 3 physicians who burned out on it. So you know, at 18, we are such different human beings than we are at 35 or 40.
Oh, sure. I had all the answers then.
Yeah.
I knew everything there was to know.
Yeah.
Well, look, so right now, what are you doing now? We talked before the show. You've got a couple of things going. Share those with the audience, just briefly.
Well, I've been teaching advanced career transition strategies at Brandman University and several other universities, and it's a very intense program. It's 8 hours a day for 6 days, with a half an hour for lunch, and 5 hours of homework between each class. And so it attracts people who, shall we say, are willing to put in the very hard work it takes to land the kind of career level position they're looking for. And I really enjoy doing that. I have a program coming up, which is being sponsored by 24-Hour Fitness here in Irvine, with the idea, I guess, that, having a stable, being healthy, and career success go hand in hand.
We can't argue with that at all. So now your focus is predominantly on teaching. Would that be?
Yeah, I would say teaching. And I closed my private practice about 7 years ago. And oftentimes when people come for help, I'll chat with them, I'll meet with them, and I'll refer them to someone else or my course. And every once in a while, I'll help someone. I'm fortunate. I don't mind making money, but that's a secondary issue now.
And you know what? I apologize. I shouldn't have limited that. I hate to put labels on, but let me correct it. My impression is you're really focused on teaching and speaking, because you
Yes.
are an excellent speaker, and I know you've talked to lots of groups, and you're a Yes. very dynamic speaker, too.
Well, I appreciate your saying so. I have a lot of fun teaching and speaking, and it's almost... I remember, I'm a great fan of Toastmasters. I think Toastmasters is one of the greatest career-building skills out there, organizations. And I remember my first Toastmaster meeting, I was so scared I thought I might leave a puddle on the floor. But after, I'm at the point where, oh, I don't have anything to speak, find me an audience, quick.
Well, you know, I have to share. I don't know that I've ever told you this story, John, but early on when we first met, we were in a meeting, and for those of you who don't know John, he's a very soft-spoken, very polite, I would say, a gentleman. Not like I would characterize myself as somebody who's sort of excited in their speech patterns and tends to interrupt, but John's not that way. He was asked to do something, stand up in front of the room. I can't remember the meeting we were at, And I can remember, my impression was, you know, this soft-spoken person's going to get up in front of the room. I wonder if anybody's going to hear him. And John walks to the front of the room and without a mic goes, "Hello, everybody!" And this big, big voice comes booming out. And all of those years and training of Toastmaster, all of a sudden you were transformed into this whole other persona.
Oh, I wish I remember what meeting that was.
I can't remember the meeting, but
I hope I was brilliant and had something decent to say.
You know, I don't remember what we had to say.
So I wasn't memorable.
But you were memorable in your presentation and the way you presented. Well, look, one of the questions that we have asked all of our guests for the last 3 or 4 years we've been doing this, and the answers always intrigue me, is we ask them what particular experience or what is sort of the guiding principle that you follow in life and in business. And it may relate to a particular experience that you went through, or it may relate to a belief you have. Can you share that with us?
I don't know. In a sense, I've always been drawn to the helping professions in some way, shape, or form. And I don't know if you're familiar with the Myers-Briggs type indicator.
But, sure.
But, you know, I'm a very strong F in that, meaning feeling versus thinking. And that comes out in a lot of ways. And I think that's a part of it. I've been involved in, I remember one business startup which could have been quite profitable, and they were doing things I wasn't comfortable with, so I just walked away from it. But so, you know, helping people, I guess, has been a driving force, if you will, and that goes with teaching and cancer research and some of those things that I've done. But I get so much satisfaction out of seeing people follow the strategies and techniques I've put together, land a position that they're really proud of, and that is worth more than money to me, actually. Although I don't mind money, mind you.
That's the second time you've said it. I got the point. You're not getting paid for today's broadcast. Okay.
Oh, no.
Well, look, thank you for sharing that. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the things that you're doing now, and you've sort of alluded to some of it. You know, you mentioned early on that most careers are accidents. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's simply starting with my own experience where I said, you know, I ended up in this area of medical technology because I had was a microbiology major and because I was able to pass a test and so forth. And I burned down on it. But most people, and I think I said this earlier, we are not the same person at 18 as we are at 25 or 30. And the reality of it is we have to make a major life decision as a pimply-faced adolescent without any life experience. And so we go off in different directions, directions that we would choose quite differently, say, in our mid-30s to mid-40s. And that's one of the reasons I think careers are just accidents. Their careers are also accidents because people, well, they'll take a look at one of the drivers is money. Can you make a pile of money in the financial industry versus teaching? So someone who would make an excellent teacher may make that choice to go into the financial world simply because it pays more. And there are all kinds of reasons for that. One of the other things I talk about is potluck careers. But what I mean by that is people in job search will spend endless hundreds of hours cruising the internet and looking for a job. They'll spend out tens of, sometimes 1,000 resumes or more looking for a position. And in the end, what happens is after 6 months or more of searching, they'll take a position they really don't want, and it really doesn't satisfy them. But, well, you know, it'll do for the time being. Well, the time being turns out to be another 3 or 4 or 5 years or more. And that gets into another whole other area where the average professional-level position, the medium professional-level position in today's world, meaning management, engineers, and so forth, is 2.5 to 5 years. It just depends on what study you read. A lot of Fortune magazine has written about it. Well, the bottom line is, whether we realize it or not, we're all entrepreneurs because we're going to be changing jobs on a fairly regular basis.
You know, this sort of fascinates me because even in my coaching, it's very normal for people to know what they need out of a situation. But I am amazed at how often people can't answer the question of what they want out of a situation. So in terms of career, people can talk about needs. I need it to be close to home. I need it to accommodate my child care situations. I need it to produce X number of dollars of income so I can live my lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
But the question that they have such difficulty answering, and I want to know how you work with them on this, is they don't know what they want. They don't have a clear picture of what's available to them out there other than a job just like the one they left.
Boy, I feel like saying amen to that. They don't know what they don't know.
Yeah.
And, you know, a good career consultant will have some instruments like the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator I mentioned and some others, which can be a beginning to give them a sense of who they are. Once they go through that, then they have to take a look at their motivated skills. What are the things they really love doing, like doing, are good at doing? Putting those together, then they need to do research. And there are some wonderful ways of doing that research. There's some wonderful databases they can go to. No job search should begin, especially early in a career, without a minimum of 40 hours of research. That is one of the hardest sales I've ever had to make, to get people to do that level of research on themselves. I remember one outplacement program I did for Lockheed a number of years ago, and it was 2 weeks stand-up training. And one of the engineers the second day came over to me and said, "John, I don't have time for this. I need a job, and I need it now." And he wasn't willing to look at himself and do the level of research. My guess is he did not get what he was looking for.
That's a great example, because we're so need-driven, which is really, you know, if you look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, I mean, okay, we're going to provide shelter and all those basic things, but as soon as we get them, then we're not happy because we're looking for those satisfying things that have to take place during the day that make us feel more whole. You mentioned research. I mean, I don't think people really have a grasp, especially today, of what kinds of jobs are out there. How do they find out?
Well, the worst way of job hunting of all is the Internet. I'm a big fan of Richard Boll's books, What Color Is Your Parachute, a whole series of them.
Sure.
And he says straight out, the worst way to job hunt is on the Internet. 1% likelihood of success, meaning 99% probability of failure. The next probably worst way is just sending out literally hundreds of thousands of resumes. Oftentimes when I'm speaking to a group, I'll ask them, how many of you have sent out 100 or more resumes which just disappeared in a black hole? Well, every single hand in the room goes up. Then I'll ask them, how many of you have ever worked for a company, large, small, fortune level, nonprofit, that didn't have a problem? And all I get is chuckles.
Yeah.
I mean, there isn't any business in the world, present company excluded, of course, that doesn't have problems. And so focus on problems. Now, the focus on problems needs research. That's where research can really pay off. You want to learn where your industry is bleeding, hurting, changing, developing, growing. What would they do if they had the technology to do it? So that's one level of research, your targeted industry. Of course, another level of research is finding out what that targeted industry and function is. Then the next level is put together a list of companies you would like to work for. For heaven's sakes, don't worry about whether they have a job or not. Because if you call up 99 out of 100 of them and ask them if they have an opening in your field, you'll hear no. But one thing we know for sure is 100% of them have problems. So focus on problems. I have two strategies I use in those. By the way, I'm rattling on and on. So
No, that's good. And you know, I just want to say that, you know, when you talk about calling companies and they say they don't have openings, it sort of reminds me of if you walk into a store or if you're shopping for a car and the salesman comes up and says, "Can I help you?" What is the standard response we all give them? We say, "No, I'm just looking."
Yes.
You know, and they have to engage in some way before I'm willing to reveal that. And what I hear you saying is the same thing with your job search people, is they need to create a level of engagement before they can really ask, is there a job opening?
Yeah.
Is that, would that be close?
Well, you know, the way I think Richard Bowles put it at one point, any organization, no, this was Tom Jackson, who wrote a wonderful little book, Guerrilla Tactics in the New Job Market. But he said, any organization will hire you as long as they're convinced you'll bring a lot more value than you will cost. Well, that takes research. So if you go in showing them where you will bring more value than you will cost, the probability of getting a position is tremendously higher than, 1,000 times higher than sending out resumes carte blanche.
Okay, so let's talk about that in a little more specifics, because you shared with me before we went on air the sort of alternative to resume wallpapering.
Yes.
With your special reports and so forth. Share that with our audience.
Well, first of all, let me talk about a resume. You have to have a resume. There's no way around it. My basic guideline with resumes is spend 5 hours putting it together and then forget about it. After that, do your research. A special report focuses on, generally speaking, 5 problems that are generic to a targeted industry. It could be 3 problems. It could be 5, 6 or more, but you want to keep it relatively short so it's a quick, easy read. In today's world, you can put graphics in it and so forth. So you will have case studies in there. Case studies that will be 300 or 400 words, quick and easy to read. The bottom line is you're showing an organization, an industry, where you can bring more value than you will cost. My experience is, and other people had the same experience, that kind of instrument sent out will get 10 times more responses than a resume and a cover letter ever will. 10 times more. Now, it takes probably a lot more energy and research to put it together, but not 10 times as much.
So what you're doing is you are separating yourself from the pack of resumes by creating one of these industry special reports.
Yes, absolutely. And so you're in working with clients or students now, I will have them put together a target list. A target list will be companies within an industry they'd like to work for. That target list may be as many as 30 organizations. It may be as few as 10. But then they put together the special report. They send it out. They follow it up with phone calls and so forth. That will get so much more attention than resumes ever, ever will. Now, the next step in that process is a proposal. So we get ourselves through the door with, say, a special report. The next thing is you need to go in and interview. Now, here's one of the things, and you've hired people over the years, so I'll bet you agree with this, that most men and women wing their job interviews. They go in completely unprepared. Unprepared to show where they'll bring more value than they cost. They're making up their answers along the way. Is that your experience?
Yeah, they're going in a very reactive mode.
Reactive mode, right. So we want them, and my training is, we have them spend hours going over every potential question that could be asked. And we put them on the answers and questions on 3x5 cards. They may have a stack of 20 or 30 of them. And they go through them again and again and again until they know these answers and reactions so well, it seems spontaneous and unrehearsed. In other words, the more prepared you are, the more you will come across as someone who really knows their business.
Okay, I want to come back to the interviewing technique. We're going to take a break for a commercial, and then we'll come right back to that, John. Don't go away.
I won't.
There's something positive about the word up. When things are looking good, they're looking up. When someone's down, you cheer them up. So how do you move up? Well, when it comes to getting your bachelor's or master's degree, there's one university that stacks up, Brandman University. Brandman is ranked by U.S. News & World Report as one of the nation's top 10 universities for online bachelor's programs. Brandman's online graduate programs in business and education also receive top honors. So look us up at brandman.edu. Brandman University. Move up.
Imagine. Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest, hire.
Welcome back to the Coaching Perspective. We're here today with John Hall talking about career strategies. And if you just tuned in, you need to go to our website and listen to the podcast when we get it put up next week. But that doesn't mean you won't benefit from the rest of this. And John, you were talking about the interview and the preparation that you take people through with 3x5 cards, many questions, rehearsing them so they're ready and prepared to go into the interview. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is. And I was fascinated. There was a Fortune magazine article that featured Justice John Roberts on the cover. And I read the article, and I was fascinated by one of the things he did. It talked about whenever he had a court trial, even in front of the Supreme Court, he put together a list of 3x5 cards of every single question he could possibly be asked and all of his responses, and he rehearsed them and rehearsed them and rehearsed them. The article went on to say when he got his ultimate job interview, which was with the United States Senate, he did exactly the same thing. And my message there for people in job search, especially with management and professional level men and women, you need to do the same thing as Justice Roberts did. Look at the questions you could be asked, prepare your answers, put together those 3x5 cards, and know it. And if you remember, I saw the interview on television once in a year. He came across with dynamic. He came across with a sense of humor. He really knew what he was talking about. But he prepared like crazy for that. The job interviewee for a professional level job should be doing the same thing.
And every job is a professional level job.
Yes.
Especially if you need it.
Yes.
Well, let me ask you this. One of the things is that I've observed in coaching people is that they don't ask enough questions. They don't collect enough information in the interview to know that it's a good fit for them. In other words, they may be prepared to answering the questions that the company's asking, but they haven't given enough thought as to what they need to know to be sure that this is a good fit beyond the need stuff.
Yeah, again, I want to say, oh, man, that in my training and in the manual that comes along with the course, which is a 200-plus page manual, we have a whole, like, 3 pages of questions that candidates should be prepared to ask to an organization to come to that exact same conclusion. Is this an organization for them? The interview should go 2 directions.
Great.
Is this the right organization for you? Is it a good fit on both sides? And if you don't ask those kinds of questions, you may end up taking a position you didn't really want in the first place.
Perfect. Thank you very much. That's a key point in my book, because unfortunately I see the clients sometimes that I see are the ones that are a little discouraged that things didn't turn out the way they thought they would. And I'm looking, good, didn't you ask that in the interview? Didn't
mm-hmm.
you? You know, you could have found that out. Okay, so you've talked about the industry study. Talk about your problem reports.
My problem reports. In terms of, you know, I keep telling clients and now students, you are not a job hunter. You are a problem solver. And as I mentioned earlier, every single organization out there has a series of problems that are generic to an industry and specific to an organization. So people need to study where organizations are bleeding, hurting, changing, developing. What would they do if they had the staff to do it and that sort of thing? And so study where the problems are. For example, I think I showed you a proposal I did 30 years ago for smoke enders. And it started this way. I was doing, because I did my early work was in early cancer detection, I was doing volunteer work for the American Cancer Society, giving their stop smoking programs. And I got to think, well, there must be a way to get make some money doing this. So I went to the stacks at the UCI, University of California at Irvine, and did a lot of research, probably 30 hours of research. And one of the things I found was an article in Advertising Age by Jacqueline Robbins, where she said she couldn't get advertising in magazines and newspapers because the tobacco industry said, you take that advertising, we'll take ours out. So I did a lot of research, put together a proposal based on information that I got from people I knew in the marketing industry, and put together a proposal. And it was a relatively straightforward proposal on using Smoke Ender's speakers worldwide, sending them out to organizations, nonprofit groups, any kind of organization that uses speakers, and send it off to them. I was offered the second position in the marketing department of Smoke Ender's, never having had a single marketing class or experience in my life. That's the kind of, if people focus on problems rather than jobs, they will get very far ahead. By the way, that was the thing, the catalyst that made me change careers completely and go into the helping people find work.
Well, I'm glad you shared that example. And you know this, I see a lot of correlation between what you're talking about and a lot of the work I do with people in the sales field. And today in the sales field, nobody wants to hear about what we call features and benefits. Don't tell me what you do. Tell me what problem of mine that you can solve. And unless I've done enough work to identify what is your problem and do I in fact have some solutions for you, you're not too interested in hearing about my credibility and all of my credentials. I hear you saying the sort of the same message in job search.
Yeah, I think that's really true. You know, I have, I believe, all the right credentials in terms of degrees and certifications and so forth. I can't think of a single company or individuals ever asked me to show them to them.
And you are truly overeducated. Well-educated.
Well, I don't know what overeducated is.
Well-educated, I'll correct that.
Yeah. I appreciate that, Doug.
Yeah, and again, I mean, I think this is a big issue in our communications today. I think one of the things that the pace of communications today has changed is people want to get right down to the nitty-gritty. What are you going to do to solve my problems? In any kind of conversation we're having. And that's what I hear you saying with this program, is you're really focusing your students, the people you're working with, you're really getting them to focus on identifying what are the problems they can solve for the potential company that they'd like to work for.
You know, it's interesting watching people who come into the courses I teach. The courses I told you, and I don't know if we mentioned it in this broadcast, but it's 6 days, 8 hours a day with a half an hour for lunch and 5 hours of homework between each course. And people are divided up into teams of teams of about eight people each. And each team has a coach as well. And one of the things I've learned is that the teams give each other support and credibility, and they hold each other to the fire, if you will, to do their homework and so forth. But it's interesting watching some people. Some people will do whatever it takes and get out there and do all the work. Others will dabble at it and do some of it. And others will look at it as a lecture series. And a lecture series will not work. You have to sit down and do the work. So I've been fascinated by motivation. And having said that, and by the way, Doug, this is not universal, so I want to say that right away. You know Bill Ellemeyer.
Yes.
Bill started Lee Heck Harrison here in Orange County, three offices and so forth. You know, we're having a discussion. We get together every once in a while over a bottle of wine and cure the world.
It's best done over a bottle of wine.
But I was talking to him, you know, I was saying, you know, what fascinates me is that very senior level executives, the industry will charge maybe $25,000 or $30,000. For much lower level people, you know, price goes down and down to maybe a couple of thousand dollars. Well, what's interesting is we have to do, on average, much less work with senior level people because they tend to to be more motivated and get out and do the work, and a lot more hand-holding with a lower level, mid-level and lower. But what's fascinating about that is, I said to Bill, maybe we should reverse the pricing model. Well, the pricing model doesn't work. but human motivation is a fascinating thing.
Well, I have to admit that, and John was nice enough to send me his syllabus for his 6-day program. And when I first downloaded it and read through it, I was shocked. I looked at this thing and said, full 8-hour days, 6 full days, homework. Whoa, what kind of commitment are you asking people to make? Is anybody doing this?
Yes. Lots and lots of people do it. And, I like to think we start out where most programs end. We do things like have them write proposals, special reports. We have them do SWOT analysis, which business people are very familiar with. Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. We have them do SWOT analysis on themselves. We have them do SWOT analysis on their industry. We have them do SWOT analysis on the organizations they're targeting as well. So we go into much more in depth. We also have them put together a strategic plan where they, how they're going to approach their job search, and then where are they going to be in 2 years and 5 years. And that includes branding. Because there is very little permanent employment in today's world, your career stability as a management or a professional level man or woman comes from your industry knowing who you are, not just simply going from one job to the next. And that includes developing a high profile in your professional association. Oftentimes, I encourage people to write, to speak, do those kinds of things, which I know you do a lot of, and that's been very helpful to you, as it has to me.
Tell me what do you have to say about social media and all of this today? You were a little discouraging about the internet, but talk to me about the social media.
Social media is a very, it's absolutely necessary in today's world. We know, for example, that a Google search, the more you show up on social media, the more likely you are to be found. So I encourage people, when they put together their special report, get that up on. In fact, I will encourage people to have their own website. And there are different ways of having websites at very low cost. And then create a blog. Put all that together. So blog, do a website. And the best way to start with that is with your case studies and your special report, even your proposals. Put them up there. Because we know when search engines go out and look, if you don't exist on social media today, you don't exist.
You know, another good way for them to do that is to be a guest on my radio show, so they can now have a podcast to put up on their website, a place to send to people.
Oh, so you won't mind if I put this up?
Nope. I'm encouraging you to put this up. Absolutely encouraging you to put this up.
You can be assured it will be there day after tomorrow.
Well, we won't have it done day after tomorrow. The producer's got to do a little work first.
I see.
But yeah, that has a lot to do with it, and social media is just critical to all of this in terms of.
Yeah, it is critical today. By the way, if you want a good guest, I would suggest you talk to Greg Johnson, who I've worked with a lot. In fact, when I was invited to do these workshops in Australia, I couldn't go because of a conflict, and Greg's going for me. But having said that. Greg would be a great interview on social media for job search. He's really excellent in that.
Okay. So here's a question. Have you had any people that have gone through this program that weren't looking to move to a different company but were looking to use these tools to further their advancement within their current company?
Yes. I found more of that in my private practice, and then when I did the semester-length courses where people who were working could go in the evening, I've seen that a number of times. People who are plateaued, who they've been to an organization 5 or 6 years, and they haven't gone to the next level. So I've helped those a lot. Interestingly enough, a number of people who've taken my classes, both the semester-length and private practice as well, have become entrepreneurs, because the strategies we use in these courses to help people find work are very similar to the strategies you need to develop a business.
Absolutely. Yeah, a lot of similarity.
Yeah. And I've had people come to me and say, you know, this is off the top of my head, but John, and I'm tired of working for a company. I want to start my own business so I can have more time to myself. And my answer to them is, that's great. You can choose any hours. Once you start your own business, you can choose any hours, 80 hours of the week that you choose.
Yeah, if you'd like to work less hours, you probably ought to find somebody else to work for. What do you think is the most valuable piece of work that you do in these classes in terms of use to the students? I mean, it's all valuable, but what creates the aha moment for them in this 6-day program?
Yeah, you know, it's a very interesting question. As I think about it, there seems to be different levels of aha, but people tend to say, yeah, I get it. They walk out of there really encouraged. I've had, I get these emails from people just in abundance. And, for example, saying, one in particular saying, you know, I took a $10,000 outplacement program that my company paid for, and I got much, much more out of this because it's so step by step by step, the way we have people approach it. It's also relatively unique. People just haven't thought about special reports and proposals and those kinds of things. And once people start the process of looking at what they've really done, and that's one of the things that fascinates people, is when we get them to sit down and look at what their really accomplishments are. And we have a structured way of doing that where we have them look at all their motivated skills. And then with each one of those skills, we have them tell a story where they've actually used that skill. And one memory piece leads to the next. It's the way the mind works, the synapses. And all of a sudden, they'll come out with things, gee, I've forgotten all about that. I don't remember that. Gee, that was really great. And so they begin to see some energy and enthusiasm develop based on beginning to pull out their past accomplishments, which then can lead to proposals and special reports and how they can demonstrate ROI. But it's fascinating when you think about it, all the things we've done in our past that we've forgotten about.
You know, as you talk about that, John, I am so amazed. Usually when I ask people, well, okay, so give me an outline of what you've done that would make you qualified for what we're talking about, they start to list job titles.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And of course, there's not that many job titles for most of us.
Yes.
And then we have to dig deeper and go, no, I want to know what you did in that job.
Now, you're saying
something. Not the job title.
You're saying something here. I have to be somewhat careful about it. But in one of the first classes in this series, I'll ask people to tell me, you know, why they should be hired by a given organization. And I'll get things like, well, I'm people-oriented, or, you know, things like that. And I'll turn to them and say, prove it to me. And I'll get it. What do you mean? Prove it to you. And they'll say, well, I really get along with people well. You know, and they'll go into what their people philosophy is and how well-organized they are. I'll look at them and I'll say, so what? And they'll look at me again and say, what do you mean? Tell me something you've done that have created more value to an organization. Put a bottom line on it. I don't care if you're people-oriented. I want to know how you can bring more value to this organization and quantify it if possible.
You mean I'm supposed to have an ROI on these people I'm hiring? They're supposed to provide more value than it's costing me?
Isn't that? Oh, no.
What a strange concept. Well, look, John, as we kind of get close to the end here, I've kind of interrupted you a million times here. So, you know, I want to give you a couple minutes to either go back and hit on something that I brushed past or something that we didn't cover yet. What else do you want to really get across to our audience here today?
You know, it's an interesting question. I think we've covered an awful lot, but I you know, sometimes there's a lot of studies that tell us the correlation between GPA in college and universities is not a predictor of career success. The correlation between graduate degrees is not a strong predictor of career success. Even the correlation between graduate degrees from top-level universities is not the best predictor of career success. The best predictor of career success is emotional intelligence, how you get along with your fellow human being, those kinds of things.
Can you prove it?
Well, let's take a look at a guy by the name of Steven Jobs.
Okay.
He dropped out of college in his second semester. Let's take a look at Bill Gates. Let's take a look at Michael Dell. You know, you look at things like that. What is it about the entrepreneurial personality that is not generally a good personality match or a good strong student? Those kind of things fascinate me. Now, by the way, those are generalities. They are not. You know, one thing we do know is the Harvard MBA will get the best job out of the chute.
Yes, and the most money.
But if you follow the Harvard MBA for 10 or 20 years and follow the, say, C-level graduate from a state university for 20 years, you can't predict which one will be the most successful.
Okay, so boys and girls listening, if you are listening, this does not mean you can skip your homework tonight.
No.
And that your grades aren't important. That's not what we're saying here.
No, that's not what we're saying. I always encourage people to get the best possible education they can.
Yeah, we're saying that the learning, that there's a foundation of learning that you have to have, that the measurement in terms of grades is not the predictor of success.
No, it is not.
Yeah.
If you read a lot, I encourage people, one of the things, we have a unit in the course on emotional intelligence, and one of the best predictor of career success is high-level emotional intelligence. One of it, which is motivation, obviously, the people I mentioned earlier, like Steven Jobs, had a high level of motivation.
Right.
The other is how well you get along with your fellow human being. Another one is empathy. Emotional intelligence is something that can be learned. And I know in your work, because we've chatted about it, part of what you do is emotional intelligence training in that area.
Yeah, a lot of it's for me personally. I need a lot of help in that area.
I've known you for a long time, Doug. I don't think you need much help in that area at all.
Well, look, John, you've got a program coming up. How do people find out about it? How do they enroll if they want to go further in this?
Well, this is an unusual program. Generally, I've done this at university, most particularly at Brandman University, which you just ran an ad for. It's called the Advanced Career Strategies Workshop. It's being sponsored by 24-Hour Fitness. The idea here is they believe that physical fitness and career fitness just go hand in hand. It's a six-day workshop right in their facility in Irvine. It will be Tuesdays and Thursdays, I think, starting on May 27th through June 2nd. It will be 8 hours a day with a half an hour for lunch and all the homework that we talked about. Because the 24-Hour Fitness is giving us the facility, there will be no charge for it.
Zero charge. Okay.
It's being done as a public service to unemployed, and we really look forward to helping them in that way.
Do I have to be unemployed to enroll?
Well, probably if you want to miss 6 days in your job,
well,
you might end up unemployed anyway.
Be on vacation.
No, you could be on vacation. Yeah. No, absolutely. I've had several clients over the years take my 5-day class who did that on vacation time. So if they want to, they can contact me at jhirvine@aol.com. That's jhirvine@aol.com or 949-387-2004. Again, 949-387-2004. Now, when I said there's 5 hours of homework, there will be 5 hours of homework even for the first class. So once people sign up and register, we will send them the homework for the first class as well.
Before I go to the first class, I got to do the homework.
That's right.
Now you can tell what kind of student you're talking to over here.
Now, at the end of the second class, we then send out as a PDF the 200 plus page manual that goes along with the course, and we wait for that just to make sure that people are committed to coming back.
Great. Anything else, John?
I can't think of anything else. It's a pleasure to reconnect with you after it's been a few years.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure having you here today, and I just want to welcome you to the Coaching Perspective radio show community. Thank you very much. We hope to have you back again.
I would look forward to it.
Okay. Well, we've been listening to John Hall, Career Strategies. Great interview. You know, this is just a subject that is so critical that gets nowhere near the attention that it really deserves, of taking an aggressive, proactive stance on planning out your career and looking where you're going. So I appreciate John taking the time to come in and share it with you, and I think it's worth listening to again. I know I'm going to sit down and listen to this again, and I'm sure there's some things I didn't get notes on. So this is Doug Gefeller signing off, thanking you for all of your support. I hope that you enjoyed the show today, that the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information that you can use to identify and achieve your goals right now. You've been listening to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.